a lot to talk about for the University of Georgia in football. First of all, a little recruiting news now for Georgia. A guy by the name of Ryan Puglisi. I'm probably butchering that name. I couldn't find, you know, the phonic pronunciation of his name. And so I'm going to apologize to Ryan if I just kind of butcher it a little bit. Ryan Puglisi, P-U-G-L-I-S-I, Puglisi. He's a 2024 quarterback prospect, high schooler. He announced his commitment to Georgia on Sunday evening. He's in the 2024 class. And Puglisi becomes the first quarterback prospect to commit to Georgia since Gunnar Stockton did it back in January of 2021. Puglisi plays high school football for Avon Old Farms Academy in Avon, Connecticut. Now, that's kind of interesting. Georgia reaches up to Connecticut to get a high school quarterback. This is the same school that has produced current Miami University starting quarterback Tyler Van Dyke, which is kind of interesting. Rusty Manziel, our good friend at 247 Sports, says that Puglisi can throw a baseball 95 miles an hour and plus. So you might have a dual sport athlete here. He may be on the football team and on the baseball team. At the University of Georgia, he's 16 years old. He can throw a baseball 95 miles an hour plus, and he can throw a football 70 yards. I mean, the kid is 16 years old. He is a three-star currently. He's projected probably to be a five-star when all is said and done in his high school career. The Alabama offered him. Georgia offered him. Some other major colleges have already offered him. Puglisi was in Athens over the weekend, and he liked what he saw. He said it was the greatest atmosphere he's ever been in for a football game, college or otherwise. And Ryan Puglisi, a 2024 quarterback prospect, announced his commitment to Georgia on Sunday. So, you know, the recruiting trail continues to be hot for the University of Georgia. Now, he's in the Ryan's in the 2024 class. So far in the 2023 class, you know, the 2023 class for Georgia, the overall rankings now for the 2023 rankings, you know, who has the best recruiting class? According to 247 Sports, Alabama is number one, has the number one recruiting class so far for 2023. Georgia, number two, followed by Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Texas, LSU, Florida, Clemson, and then Tennessee. Now, so those are the rankings for the 2023 recruiting classes so far. So Georgia's pretty hot on the recruiting trail. Picked up a couple of guys last week for the 2023 class. A running back, flipped a running back out of California, a pretty you know, highly touted running back, and then picked up an athlete, plays offense and defense from the state of Georgia. So Georgia, you know, Georgia does what it does. It recruits under Kirby Smart. So well on the recruiting trail. Georgia also, of course, doing very well on the football field. Georgia did what number one teams are supposed to do when you play a team like Vanderbilt, bless their hearts. You know, you win, and you win handily, and Georgia did that against Vanderbilt on Saturday, winning 55-0 over the Commodores. Georgia is now 7-0 on the season. As a result of their big win over Vanderbilt, Georgia retained the number one ranking in this week's AP poll. Georgia also is number one in the college poll, the top 25 rankings in the coaches poll. Ohio State comes in at number two in the AP poll. Michigan now is number four. Alabama drops to number six following their 52-49 loss to Tennessee. Tennessee now the number three team in the country after that big win over Alabama, the first time Tennessee has beaten Alabama since 2006. So Georgia continues to be number one, but there's a lot of folks who are saying, you know, a lot of individuals. Now, those are the ranking services. But there are a lot of individuals, and we'll go over that in just a moment, who say, hey, wait a minute, they don't project Georgia as the number one team. But, you know, who cares what the polls say or the projections say? It's what happens on the field. So, and on the field Saturday, of course, Georgia had a big win. Georgia beat Vanderbilt last year 62-0. And they beat Georgia this year 55-0. So, you know. Stetson Bennett had a good game on Saturday, threw two touchdown passes, threw for 289 yards. The Georgia defense limited Vanderbilt to just 150 total yards. It marked the fourth time this year that Georgia has shut out an opponent, or at least kept an opponent out of the end zone. Darnell Washington had a great day on Saturday. My word, the man was on fire. Had a tremendous day on Saturday. He made some tremendous catches, four passes. He caught four passes for 78 yards. Rick Gilbert, who's had some issues, you know, but he's really loved by the staff and the players at the University of Georgia. Rick Gilbert had his most productive day as a Bulldog on Saturday. He caught his first touchdown pass as a Bulldog, and when he did, he was mobbed by the Bulldogs on the field, and then when he came off the field, the entire team mobbed and showed great love to Arik Gilbert. It was really something to see. Now, we don't know the full details of, you know, Arik's issues that he's been dealing with, but it's very plain that his teammates love him. The coaching staff love him. He's a very talented player. If he can get things straight and right, you know, then he's going to be a pretty powerful addition to the offense, and it looks like that's coming around now. Georgia outgained Vanderbilt 579 yards to 150. Georgia had 579 yards in offense on Saturday against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt only had 150 yards offense, which is pretty amazing in this day of modern college football, even if it is Vanderbilt. Georgia scored on four of its first five drives. Had 11 different receivers catching passes on Saturday. Six different Bulldogs scored touchdowns on Saturday. So what more can you say about Georgia and Vanderbilt? It was just a total, complete victory. Now, Carson Beck, the number two quarterback for Georgia, got into the game in the fourth quarter for Stetson Bennett. And I want to tell you something. My man Carson Beck looked really sharp on Saturday against Vanderbilt. His passes were, you know, they were zipping and on target. The 6'4", 215-pound Beck, third-year sophomore from Jacksonville, was 8 of 11 in passing for 98 yards and two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And he scrambled for 13 yards as well, ran for 13 yards. So, big win for Georgia Saturday. It was homecoming day. Kind of a neat thing that happened at homecoming day. I didn't know they did this. But they have an alumni band. Former members of the Georgia Redcoat Marching Band are, I guess, invited to come back on homecoming day, and they form an alumni band, and they performed. That band performed in the pregame ceremonies, and it was quite impressive. 400 members, 400 former members of the band, the majorettes, and the flag team, and that kind of thing, out on the field. Quite impressive. I think the oldest former member of the Redcoat Band that performed on Saturday was in the Redcoat Band back in the early 50s. And she was out there on the field with the band. Pretty amazing. And the guy who came, or the person who came the furthest to be in the band on Saturday, was a guy from Thailand. You know, not a native guy from Thailand, but apparently he either lives in Thailand or has a business or whatever. And he was on the field as well. So it was quite impressive. Everything was impressive on Saturday. Georgia just had a big win over Vanderbilt. Now, so, you know, with all this topsy-turvy going on, with Alabama being defeated by Tennessee and all this stuff going on in college football, we've heard what AP has said in their polling and what the coaches' polls say. What about some individuals? What do they say about who's number one, two, three, four, and on? Well, ESPN college football analyst and former Georgia Bulldog defensive end David Pollack says he thinks that Tennessee is the number one team in the country after the big win over Alabama on Saturday. And so David Pollack says Tennessee ought to be number one. And he said that Tennessee's 52-49 win over Alabama was the best win in the country this year. Now, I beg to differ. I love David Pollack. He's a great guy, former dog. Just love him on so many levels, but I disagree with him there. Georgia's win over Oregon. As Oregon continues to win, almost a top 10 team now again, that win of Georgia over Oregon's getting more impressive as the week goes by. And, Oregon is doing really good. So, I would say that may be the most impressive win in college football so far. Well, we all have our opinions, right? Now, Kirk Herbstreit from ESPN, he has his top six. He has Alabama at number six, Clemson number five, Michigan number four. Kirk Herbstreit has Georgia at number three in his personal list of the top teams. He has Tennessee at number two and Ohio State at number one. Aaron Murray, of course, great Aaron Murray, great Bulldog. He has his top 10. He has USC at number 10, TCU number 9, Alabama at number 8. And so Aaron has dropped Alabama all the way down to number 8. Then he has Ole Miss at number 7, UCLA at number 6, Clemson number 5, Michigan number 4, Tennessee 3, Georgia 2. Aaron Murray has Georgia number 2 in the country, and Ohio State number 1. That's his personal list of the top teams in the country. Are we still good? Are we still on? We were having issues, technical issues. And thank God we got somebody who knows what they're doing to get us back on. But we're on. Now, a lot of people have said, when is Georgia going to have a night game? And a lot of people are hoping that Georgia game against Tennessee is going to be a night game. Well, apparently that is not going to happen. Now, the time when the game is going to be played has not been announced. I understand it won't be announced until like October 31st or something like that. CBS gets the first pick. Now, this is according to contracts and everything. CBS gets the first pick of SEC games each week. CBS looks over the list and says, I want that game. And then ESPN can get another one and, on down the line. So CBS gets the first pick. Now, CBS has one night game a year. But they pick that one night game a year prior to the season. And they've already had that game. It was Alabama and who? Texas A&M. Yeah, Alabama and Texas A&M was the night game that CBS had on. And so if CBS then picks up the Georgia-Tennessee game, and you can bet your bottom dollar if Georgia remains undefeated, if Georgia beats Florida and goes into that game 8-0, and Tennessee continues to be undefeated, and it looks like, they got the UT Martin Saturday and somebody else the next week, Kentucky, which that might be an interesting game. But if those teams are still undefeated, then you will see CBS, that game, Georgia and Tennessee on CBS at 3:30 on November 5th. Now, that's not official. It hadn't been, determined, but you read the tea leaves, as they say, and you can pretty well be guaranteed that Georgia will play Tennessee in an afternoon contest. It would be kind of neat to have that game in Sanford Stadium at night. And what about the Tennessee fans tearing down the goalpost? I mean, they tore down the goalpost. The Tennessee gets fined $100,000 for violating SEC rules that no fans can be on the field after the game, no fans charging the field. Well, that went out the window. And so Tennessee's got to pay a $100,000 fine to the SEC. Plus, I understand that to repair the stadium and the goalpost, it'll cost another $150,000. So that little stunt of the Tennessee fans charging the field is going to cost the University of Tennessee $250,000 at least, which is kind of interesting. And now, the University of Tennessee is asking fans to make contributions to replace the goalposts. And this is from an athletic department that brings in caboodles of money every year And they're asking fans to pay for the business. Okay. Let's see. Well, let's review now where we are with the University of Georgia. Georgia beat Oregon September 3rd, 49-3. The most impressive win so far in college football. My apologies to David Pollack. I would put the Tennessee win over Alabama at number two. Then Georgia beat Samford, South Carolina, Kent State, Missouri, Auburn, and Vanderbilt. Now, Georgia's next game is not this week. Georgia is off this week. It's an off week for the Bulldogs. Coach Smart is going to run the guys through practices this week. And then he's going to give them, I think he said, like 48 hours off, 2 days off toward the end of the week to go and go home or whatever they, you know, whatever you want to do. Stay out of trouble, please. Just please stay out of trouble. And then they'll get back at it on Monday and prepare. And, of course, they're already preparing for Florida. So, and then Tennessee on November the 5th. And then Georgia, you know, travels to Starkville to take on Mississippi State. Not going to be an easy game. And then they'll travel to Kentucky. That game will probably be at night on the SEC Network or something, or ESPN. And then Georgia closes out the season with Georgia Tech. So, you know, a lot of things are being said about Georgia and Tennessee, but hey, hang on. Georgia still has to play Florida. And, you know, Florida lost to LSU. Florida's not having the season they anticipated. But I'm going to tell you something now. Florida's got some talented players. It's a rival game. We shouldn't take anything for granted. You know, just the idea that, you know, Georgia can throw their helmet out on the field and beat Florida. You know, the assumption is that Georgia and Tennessee will meet when each team is undefeated. Well, you can't make that assumption. This is a huge rival game, SEC game. You know, it'll be a big game. It'll be at 3:30 on CBS. And so, you know, we'll talk more about the Florida game next week. So that's where we are so far in the season for the University of Georgia. Now, Georgia is off this weekend. By the way, some notes about that Alabama-Tennessee game. You know, we were in the stadium for the homecoming game. Hey, Michael, how you doing? Michael Bolt says, go Dogs. I'm with you, my man. We were in the stadium for Georgia and Vanderbilt, and to be honest with you, we kind of left early when Georgia was way out yonder. Because we had to walk to the car and, you know, fight the traffic, yada, yada, yada. Now, if it had been tight, we'd have sat right there. But, you know, we got a little head start. And then when we got on the road, we found the radio feed for Alabama and Tennessee. And, boy, that was fun to listen to. Alabama had 17 total penalties in the game against Tennessee. Probably had something to do with the environment in Knoxville. It was wild in Knoxville. Now, of course, when Tennessee comes to Athens, it's going to be the script will be flipped, and Tennessee will have to endure the Georgia crowd. The Bulldogs are the SEC's least penalized team, by the way. 28 total penalties against Georgia this season. And so Georgia is the SEC's least penalized team. South Carolina is second with 34. Now, you know, Tennessee, that was an impressive win, but they gave up 49 points. Yeah, they scored 52, but they gave up 49. And this is an Alabama team that scored only 24 against Texas A&M and 20 against Texas. But they were able to put up 49 points on Tennessee. So, you know, 49 points, you expect to win. Tennessee gets 52 and they win. You know, so if Georgia's offense is healthy and humming against Tennessee, you got to expect Georgia's offense is going to be able to do some business against that Tennessee defense. Boy, that will be a wild game. That will be a wild game if indeed both teams are undefeated. And look for Sports or ESPN Game Day, probably, to be on site if both teams are undefeated. The Georgia-Florida game again, October 29th, a week from Saturday. Georgia and Florida traditionally each have the off week before they play each other. That'll be 3:30 down in Jacksonville, of course, on CBS. I don't like that Jacksonville thing. I'm sorry. You know, that game needs to be campus to campus like every other game. I know a lot of people, you know, it's not a neutral game site for Georgia. It's supposed to be, you know, supposed to have equal number of fans and all that, but it's just not. I mean, who started that? And I saw where Mercedes-Benz Stadium said, hey, let us get in on it. You know, let the game be in Jacksonville one year, Mercedes-Benz one year. Now, that would, you know, maybe even things out. I don't know. Let's just do home-to-home. Now, Georgia playing in Gainesville in the swamp. Whoo, that would be wild, too. Here's the stat of the week. Are you ready for this? Georgia is one of three teams perfect on fourth down this season. Georgia has attempted 6 fourth down attempts, and they have converted on all of them. So Georgia is perfect on fourth down attempts. The only other teams in college football yet to be stopped on fourth down, Ohio State and Clemson. And both of those teams, of course, ranked in the top 5. So, you know, after Georgia plays Florida. Okay, Georgia's next games are going to be tough. You got Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Georgia Tech playing better. You know, that's, man, you're getting into the deep dive of your schedule now. Probably the best quarterback that Georgia has faced this season is the dude from Kent State. I forget his name. He was a good quarterback. Had a good day against Georgia. He's probably the best quarterback that Georgia has faced this season. But in the coming weeks, Georgia will face Anthony Richardson, quarterback for Florida, having an up-and-down season. Hendon Hooker, Tennessee, now being touted as a potential Heisman Trophy winner. Will Rogers of Mississippi State and Will Levis. Those are the next four quarterbacks that Georgia will face in the next four games. And that's not a bad bunch. So Georgia's defense got to be ready. And Tennessee play, you know, they run like a play every 10 seconds, it seems like. Yeah, they're on high drive all the time. And by the way, kudos to Tennessee. You know, they have not beaten Alabama since 2006. By the way, the last time Tennessee beat Alabama and Georgia in the same season was in 2006. So kudos to Notre Dame. Josh Heupel doing a great job. I think Tennessee now has replaced Florida as the biggest threat to Georgia in the SEC East. And I'm talking about perennially, because Josh Heupel can recruit. Hey, Miss Susan. Or Suzanne. I'm sorry. Hey, Miss Suzanne. How you doing? Go Dogs. Just a quick review of some scores from last week. Ole Miss beat Auburn 48-34. I tell you what, if Auburn had a quarterback, and the kid is a young freshman, and he's third-string quarterback. He's learning. If he gets more proficient, Auburn doesn't really have a bad team. But and they put up 34 points on Ole Miss. Apparently, Ole Miss is really good when it comes to offense, but the defense is a Pac-12 defense. Vanderbilt beat Georgia 55-0. Tennessee beating Alabama 52-49. Arkansas beat BYU on Saturday 52-35. Big win for the Razorbacks. BYU, not a bad team, ranked earlier in the season, but no longer ranked. They've lost some games. LSU beat Florida in the swamp on Saturday, 45-35. That was a big win for Brian Kelly and for LSU. LSU is going to be fine. Brian Kelly, you know, he's a good coach. Not my favorite coach in the world, but he's a good coach. He'll recruit well. And then Kentucky beat Mississippi State. That was in Lexington. 27-17. Now, here's the games coming up this week in the SEC. You have UT Martin playing Tennessee. UT Martin playing a money game to get some money for their program. And so, basically, Tennessee has a bye week. But they'll have a scrimmage against UT Martin on Saturday. That'll be at 12 noon on the SEC Network. At 3:30 this coming Saturday, Ole Miss will be playing LSU. Ole Miss will be traveling to Baton Rouge to take on LSU. That could be a trap game for Ole Miss. They're undefeated, but that could be a trap game. That'll be at 3:30 on CBS. That'll be the 3:30 game on CBS. Then at 4 o'clock, you have Vanderbilt playing Missouri. Only fans of Vanderbilt and Missouri will watch that game. Only graduates and fans of Vanderbilt and Missouri, or if you have nothing else better to do. Then at 7 o'clock on Saturday night, Mississippi State takes on Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Now you have to see how Alabama will react to that loss. My sneaking suspicion is that Mississippi State needs to be on high alert for a blowout. What was that? Oh, a thing? Well, we don't care about that, do we? We got an alert. And then 7:30 on the SEC Network Saturday, Texas A&M taking on South Carolina. So that's the SEC Network. Some other significant games for Saturday. Virginia at Georgia Tech on ESPN Thursday night. And, you know, I haven't watched snippets of a Georgia Tech game, but I'm going to watch that when Georgia Tech actually favored. Georgia Tech is actually favored against Virginia. Georgia Tech has turned their season around. Since Jeff Collins was fired and Brent Key took over, Georgia Tech kind of on a hot streak since all of that has happened. That'll be at 7:30 on ESPN. Saturday, Iowa at Ohio State. Come on, Iowa. What are they, the Hawkeyes? Go Iowa. That'll be at 12 p.m. on Fox. Also on Saturday at 12 p.m. on ABC, Syracuse at Clemson. Now, Syracuse is undefeated. Syracuse is undefeated. Syracuse got a pretty decent team. They're traveling to Death Valley on Saturday. That'll be a 12 o'clock game to take on Clemson. What do you think about that one? That could be interesting. Go Syracuse, you know, and take out Clemson. Knock them out of the top five. I want all the top teams to lose but Georgia. Also, number 20, Texas, will be at number 11, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State lost last week to TCU. That'll be a 3:30 game on ABC. Again, Ole Miss at LSU. That's a 3:30 game on CBS. Then you have number 9, UCLA, at number 10, Oregon, at 3:30 p.m. on some station. It doesn't say. What station will that be on? Huh? Fox? You think Fox? That'll be the 3:30 game on Fox. And then you have number 17, Kansas State, and number 8, TCU. That'll be an 8 o'clock game on some station. It doesn't say. All right, so that's all the information. Well, it's not all the information. I could talk forever about Georgia, but we're not going to do that. All right, guys, thank you for joining us tonight for a little dog talk on a Monday. Thank you to Southeast Mortgage, the official home loan lender of the Georgia Bulldogs. We love those folks. Southeast Mortgage, great supporters of Dogs on Demand on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. Check us out. Southeast Mortgage, when it comes time for you to finance or refinance your home, check with Southeast Mortgage. Go to southeastmortgage.com/UGA and check with them. They are great folks, and they are professional. They are top-notch, you know. They're not the jalopies of mortgage companies. They are the, what is it, Cadillacs, Mercedes-Benz of mortgage companies. And you don't want to run ride around in a jalopy when you can take advantage of the very best. That's Southeast Mortgage, the official home loan lender of the Georgia Bulldogs. By the way, this week we'll have Bryce Kuhn back on with us on one of our podcasts. Bryce Kuhn, a writer for 247 Sports, will be talking about college football. Bryce, a good guy, and you'll enjoy the program. Thank you for being with us tonight on a Monday night. God bless you. Have a good night. Thank you, Miss Suzanne, for the compliment. We appreciate it. And we always close our programs, of course, with those two words that are close to our heart. Thank you, Ms. Rhonda. Go Dogs!